Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? We feeling good? It is an absolute privilege and honor to be here and be on the stage and bring the word this morning. I love what Pastor Allen said about Nathan is we are a church that honors, and it would be due diligence to me if I didn't give honor to where honor is due. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Rob Ketterlin. We have one of the greatest lead pastors, I would say anywhere in the country, if not the world. He is a man of vision. Never have we not had a conversation with him and been inspired and challenged and sometimes scratching our heads saying, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to try. But I'm just so thankful to be a part of that leadership. And then obviously with Pastor Allen and Heidi, it's just, it's a fun full circle to just intern under you, and then watch you go and then see you come back and then just get to do ministry with you in my hometown, which is a lot of fun. It's just, I love you and I'm so glad to do this. And Lord, building, amen, yes and amen, right? So today we are wrapping up the series, The One Jesus Loves. This is your very first time here at River Valley Church. We just want you to feel right at home and just have this be a place that you can say, welcome home. You belong here. You are a part of what's happening, whether this is your first time or you come here regularly. We have been going through a series based off a book called The One Jesus Loves, and it narrows down through various levels of your intentionality with Jesus ultimately. And so the very first week we talked about the crowds. How do you go from the crowd where you're just observing to then become part of the 5,000 into the 70, 12, 3, and finally today we're talking about the one. And as we begin this process, as the numbers grow smaller, as you go from a mass amount to the one, the intentionality, the intensity, and the focus has to change within every single level. You can't have the same focus and intentionality that you had while you were in the crowd to be a part of the three, or the same with the three to become the one. There's various different things that you have to change in order to become who God's called us to be and who He's created us to be. And ultimately, it's not what we can receive or gain through our journey with Jesus, but how much can we be more and more like Jesus while we're here on earth? So I want to pray real quick. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing today. I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that some point in this message hits everyone, because God, it's not about us. It's not about River Valley Church. It's about you, Jesus. And so we just pray that we become more like you in everything we do. We love you. And everybody said, amen. So there's a phrase that I have heard before, and you may have heard before. It's called, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And meaning this is, as you get to be around people, as you are a part of individuals' lives more and more, you realize that you begin to mimic, you begin to act a certain way, whether it's words, whether it's mannerisms, but you start acting like that person. Or that person starts acting like you. And really, when that starts happening, that is the greatest form of flattery, because one, they're around you a lot. And if they're around you a lot, that means they like you a lot, or you have a lot of money and you can pay for them to be around a lot. But one of the biggest things that I was thinking about growing up is this. When I first met my wife, Jessica, she's from Mobile, Alabama, so way down south. And how I convinced a southerner to move up north, I have no idea. But I did. But here's the thing. They say a word that for years and years and years, I was like, I am not saying this word. I refuse. I will stand until the test of time. I will not say the word y'all. Because listen, I am a part of the great north. It is you guys, and it will be you guys until the Lord comes back. However, when I am surrounded by southerners, it is just y'all, y'alls, 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 right? And then another y'all just for good measures. And I just was putting my foot down. I said, I will not, in the name of Jesus, I will not say this word. And it wasn't until recently that I just was like, whatever. It's easier. I don't know if it's because I'm getting lazier. I don't know what it is, but I just started saying the term y'all a lot. And whether it's something like a word, or for some of us, maybe we have experienced a completely different life change experience. When you begin to be around someone that you truly care about, you're saying, listen, I will make this change because I love you. The change happens because you are ultimately saying you are worth changing, whether it's a funny word or just who you are as an individual. As you begin to change, it is the greatest measurement that you can have of saying, I love you, I care for you, and I want to be with you, like you, and around you. And as followers of Jesus, we need to have that same type of intentionality. And so when we do this change, we realize that we are becoming someone else, or we become something different. And growing up in church my whole life, I'm so thankful to have parents who are here this morning, but they believed in being a part of the church. It didn't matter if we had a basketball tournament immediately after. I will come dressed in my uniform, and we will leave at the second the pastor says amen. But my parents believed in raising their kids in the church. And so I just grew up in church my whole life. I went to private school my whole life. And so I had always been around this sort of Christian bubble. And it's not a bad bubble to be around, but you realize that you begin to hear different things that really you have no meaning or understanding what they mean. And so I was hearing phrases, and some of you may have heard phrases, stuff like this. It's, you hear phrases of, you need to be like Jesus. You need to act like Jesus. You need to take up your cross. You need to hear other variations of this. And I, as a young man growing up, I was like, I don't understand what these words mean because people tell me these things and no one has showed me how to do these things. Can anybody else have that sort of frustration? You're like, I want to do this, but I don't know how. I am a kinesthetic learner and teacher. I love learning and teaching by doing things, working with my hands. I love all of being able to be a part of it. And so when it's audible or visual, I am out the book. I am clueless. I have no idea what's happening, but I love to be a part of what is happening. And I just wanted this. Growing up, my friend had a poster. He was an aspiring guitarist, and he had a poster of all of the chords, right? Have any of you seen those posters before? You have the poster of all the chords on how to learn different notes in guitar. And he would be learning by just studying that poster. And he's like, oh man, I messed up. Let me look back at the poster. I just wish there was a poster that said, how do I be more like Jesus? And there's a poster on my room or a wallpaper on my phone that I can say, man, there it is. Okay, that's what it is. That's where I messed up. I need to keep going. But it's not that way. It's learning by doing. It's learning by making mistakes. And if there's one thing I really want to let people free with this morning is this. It is okay to make a mistake in this life, because we are imperfect people following a perfect Savior. And it's not to be perfect, but it's to grow closer to Jesus. And so when we hear phrases like, you need to be like Jesus, I would respond with, so you're telling me that I need to be the perfect Savior. I would correct and say, you need to just draw closer to Jesus, because when you draw closer to Jesus, your behavior pattern, your words, your spirit, you're just who you are as a person will narrow as you go from crowd to one. And every single day, we need to draw closer and closer to Jesus. And so I know that there are different things. You're like, Pastor Matt, there's a thing called the Bible you should read. I understand that there are things called the Bible. There's things called life groups and life teams. And there are various ways through this church and other churches, wherever you go and find home as a church, that you can get plugged into and go closer in your relationship with Jesus. My question to you is, if you know these places, why are you not taking advantage of it? Because we want to know, how do we become closer to Jesus? How do we follow Jesus deeper? And he gives us a great opportunity by his word that is active every single day, and the community of the church, which should be active every single day. But the community part plays a big factor on what you're gonna do about it. And so as we decide to grow closer into Jesus, we need to say, man, I am going to choose today to grow closer to Jesus. Every single day when you wake up, besides which coffee should I brew this morning, you need to ask yourself this. Today, I am going to tell myself this. I'm gonna say, handsome. Now, some of you, it'd be weird if you called yourself that, but I need affirmation right away in the morning. Today, I will choose to be more like Jesus. Today, I will choose to grow closer, because as we go through this journey, you're going to go from the crowd, which is this. The focus is my needs. 5,000, my focus, The crowds is, the focus is my questions. The 5,000, the focus is my needs. 70, it shifts, and it's my focus is Jesus's mission. The 12 is focusing on his life. The 3 focused on his glory and his suffering. And then finally, the 1, my focus is Jesus himself. Because as we continue to strive down the path, you will realize that it's becoming less and less about me and becoming more and more and more and more about him. And when we have that focus and that understanding, life will not always be perfect, but life will be aligned the way that God created you to be. And now if you are like me, you're saying, man, this is really, that's a really hard thing, because I like me and I like my things and I like my schedule and I like my routine and I like all of these things. And you're right, it is really hard, but here's the best thing is when you look at someone like Jesus to follow, you need to understand that Jesus lived the imitation life too. He identified with mankind. He identified with you and he identified with me from humble manger beginnings to massive temptation into wilderness. He can identify with our humanity. He can understand with our struggles and he can understand with our weaknesses. And I love what Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:15. He goes, we don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He has been through weaknesses and testing and he's experienced it all but the sin. And I love that because we don't serve a God who's sitting on a throne 30,000 feet in the air and is just ruling and reigning and saying, servant, go do that. And peasant, go do that. And you're doing this and you're doing that. He's not that type of God, but he's a God that has experienced everything, that has gotten his hands dirty, that has gotten even the dirt in the nails that you can't even wash off. He has gotten that dirty and he has gotten that grounded, and yet he still walked away spotless and clean. And when I look at an example like that, I'm saying, man, that is a person that I want to follow. I don't want to follow a good person. I want to follow the only person who has ever lived this life clean, lived this life, was a part of the mess, was very deep in the mess, and still walked away clean. That's the person that I want to follow. And so as you look through the various people that we've been talking about that walked in through and through Jesus's ministry, there's one person who stands out the most, and this is John. Now, why John? Now, here's some quick attributes about John. Number one, John self-titles himself the one who Jesus loved. The first time I heard that, I said, oh man, pride issue. And you're like, why would John call himself the one Jesus loved? And I was looking about and thinking about this, and how many times do we go through an entire day seeing social media, we see just ourselves, we see the people around us give us negative titles. Give ourselves negative titles, give ourselves negative things that we think about all the time. But John's like, I'm not gonna think about the negative, but I'm gonna think about the one who I'm with that I know without a shadow of a doubt loves me. And so I don't even think John was arrogant. I just think John chose the right thing to focus on. He's saying, man, Jesus loves me. And so I'm the one who Jesus loves. And so he self-titles as this. If you look closely that has anything to do with John, you realize that he emerges as Christ's closest disciple. And when you want to be close to someone as inspirational as Jesus, you get close to his closest people. He leaned on his back upon the back of Jesus at the Last Supper, which is kind of weird if you think about it. John must have been close enough to Jesus to know that his probably two love languages were physical touch and quality time. But if Jesus's it was like gifts, he's probably like, hey, cool, John, that's fine. You can just back away a little bit. Just give me a present, it'll be fine. But he must have known because he was so close to Jesus. And then Peter asked John to ask Jesus who was going to betray Jesus. At the Last Supper, Peter leaned over. He's like, hey, John, talk to Jesus about who's going to do this. So that must mean that the person that we think, like I look at Peter and I'm like, man, Peter, he started the church. He did all these different things. But Peter was so, wasn't close enough where he just wanted to be like, Lord, who's going to do it? Or he's messed up so many times that he was finally like, I'm not going to say a dumb thing again. And he's like, John, you say it. And John was like, okay. And so he asked him. So, and then he was the only disciple recorded being visible at Christ's crucifixion. He was the one given responsibility to be Jesus's mother caregiver. He recorded and perhaps remembered more of Jesus's words than anyone else. And last, he is the only gospel writer who recorded the new name Jesus gave his followers, which are friends. And in John 15, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. So how do we be more like John? right? If we had the cool trendy WWJD bracelets, we would change it from Jesus to John, right? Without being sacrilegious. We would say, WWJD, how do I be more like John? There is one word that John uses over and over and over if you read through his gospels, and that's the word abide or remain. And John was not only loved by Jesus, but here's the things he also did. He followed Jesus. He left all for Jesus. He believed in Jesus. He leaned on Jesus, metaphorically and physically. He stood with Jesus. He fell asleep. Now, granted, this probably wasn't his best moment, but he remained, he stayed, he held tight, he yielded, he surrendered, he depended, and he then continued to abide in Jesus all the way to the cross and then beyond the cross. He continued to remain in the presence of Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There is no special Chick-fil-A sauce to remain in Jesus' presence. There's just not. There's not a secret recipe to do this. There's only will and grit and to tell yourself that this decision is the best decision. I wish there was some sort of formula that made it easy and that when you receive the gift of salvation and you begin to walk the walk Jesus did, it's not perfect. It's messy. It's hard. It's, is this worth it? And every single time that thought drifts into your brain, you need to remind yourself this. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is the best decision. And Paul said this in Romans 12. He goes, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now listen, if you're anything like me, I have never came up with a plan that was good, pleasing, and perfect all in one. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was pleasing. I would dare say I've never had a perfect plan. But I have never once had a good, pleasing, and perfect plan. And if I line up to what God's will is for my life, the Bible says that if you line up to them, if you don't transform to the world, but you renew your mind and to be like Jesus more and more, it is good, pleasing, and perfect all in one. It is a package deal. It's not one or the other, but it's all three of them. And so we need to line that up. And it's his will, not our will. So we can do this. And I can say this, and I will be bold enough to say this, the man-made spiritual hierarchy that we have created of who is more spiritual just needs to be done. When we look at people and we're like, oh man, I wish I could be that holy. Oh man, I wish I could be like that. Oh man, I wish I could be this person or talk this way or preach like this person, or I just wish I could do all these things. I am sick and tired of it because I had been affected by it, where I judged my Christianity or my walk with Jesus based on someone else's walk. And I have come to this realization, and I hope this hits you home as an encouragement. If you aren't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then you can always improve. Come on. Like, there are people out there that are needing us to say, you know what? I am not perfect. I am not okay, but I'm not okay with staying not okay. And I will continue to move forward. And I just want to ask you this question. Will you join me? That is the church. And that is his followers. It's saying, how did we start from 1 to 3 to 12? Come along. Come be a part of what we're doing. Because listen, I'm not perfect, but he is perfect, and I follow the perfect one. And so if you are dirty, if you are saying, I shouldn't even be here, if you're saying, I'm actually shocked lightning didn't come out when I crossed the threshold of this church, you want to know why? It's because this is for you. This is for those people that we have not seen come through this door yet, but are praying for to come through this door, for these seats that have no faces to them, but will have a face to them. This is why we do what we do, is so that we can say, man, it's not to us and what we can do, but it's to God be the glory and what he has done in my life, so that I can say I was once this way, but now I am this way. And it's only because of what Jesus has done. And that is why we do what we do. Someone really wise once said that triumph is 10% try and 90% oomph. Right? It's true. There's no secret recipe. It is just grit, willpower, and getting yourself up. And I tell the youth this a lot, is this is what Christianity should do. And I apologize for the podcast because this is a visual thing, is we do this. We point at people when they make mistakes. That is our natural tendency. But instead, the church should do this. And we bring a hand up to pick them up. And we say, guess what? I messed on that too, but we're going to go together now, continuing forward. That is what we need to do. And so as we grow closer with Jesus, it's like it is if the fingers are getting separated from the fist, and then it's helping them. It goes from a point to a hand, and we pull them up and bring them along. That's why the Bible uses words so many times like faithfulness, perseverance, overcoming, diligence, pressing on. These are all the words that we need to have as followers of Jesus, because when we get hit, when people look at us and say, I can't believe someone like Pastor Matt is struggling with this. Well, guess what? Yeah, it's because I'm a human. And there may be a time that you might be able to speak into me, or you might be able to speak into Pastor Allen. Just because we have the title pastor doesn't mean that we're a perfect person. I can tell you this, I struggle. Right? I can tell you that. My wife can tell even greater that I struggle, right? But there's so many things that we're like, yes, I struggle with this. And guess what? I'm still here. And I still show up every Sundays. And I'm still there. And you can be too. And there's no such thing as lightning hitting someone when they walk through the threshold of the church. If anything, it's like celebration fireworks is what it is, because we're so excited for you to be here. So what are my action steps? It's a great question. As someone who's like, okay, you're saying great things. What am I supposed to do? The first one is this. We need to abide in God's presence. John 8 said, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Right? When you are in God's presence, man, anything can happen. So our encouragement is this. Don't miss church. Don't miss meeting with a life group. Don't miss being able to be together and be a part of when God moves and you're saying, man, I wish I would not have missed it. And I get that there's schedules and I get that there's tournaments and I get that there's this, but I want to encourage you as someone who has grown up with parents that have said, I will not allow a moment to be out of God's presence. I want to say, man, make that the foundation of your family. I will not miss church. The only way I will miss church is if we have snow in April. Only way. Otherwise, we're not missing it. The second one is this: abide in Jesus as the only connection to God. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you are trying to accomplish just way too complex devotionals and you get burnt out and you're not even getting in the word, man, just be in God's presence. Just Jesus is it. There's not a special translation. There's none of this. It is Jesus. He is the only way. The third thing is abide in your reading, hearing, and studying the word of God. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. And here's the thing. This is so important. You would never miss a meal, and you would feel the effects of it if you didn't. Never miss an opportunity to get in God's word. Because if you do, you will feel the effects of it. And there are so many times in my life, and I'm so thankful for mentors, like people on the screen, that they're saying, listen, this is a journey that I wish I could be a part of. I wish I could continue. I wish I would have learned this. And thank God for older people, for more mature people to say, listen, I wish I could have done this, but because I have learned this, I want to teach you this. And if there's anything that I can say as a youth pastor is this, please do not look at the next generation and say, they will not listen to me. They will eat your words out of your hands. Please never look at an age and say, they're never going to listen to me. But I would love to see a day where a church can have young people and more mature people sitting together, intermingling, worshiping the one God who saved all of us, so that we can enter into heaven the same way he created that, and that's together, not secluded. The next one is abide in Christ to discourage sin. 1 John 3 says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Here's the thing. We're going to sin. We're gonna do it. But as you grow closer to Jesus, as you become closer into his presence, you understand, you get a conviction of what is right and what is wrong. And as we follow that conviction, there's something that maybe as you were starting your journey and you're saying, I never found this wrong, but now later in life, you're realizing, hey, the best terminology is the icky feeling that you get. And you're saying, this doesn't settle with me. That's God saying like, don't do that. Right? That's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. And as we follow those steps, so are you going to just be perfect? No. So good job. That's not what's going to happen. But as you grow more mature, there are things that you're saying, I just shouldn't be a part of that anymore. And as you continue to be obedient, God's going to continue to say, man, that is someone I can trust, hearing my voice, hearing my conviction, hearing where I want to go. And I'm going to continue to lean on that person. And then lastly, it's this, abide in love. We have known and believed the love of God and what he has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And so as we continue to abide and remain in our walk with Jesus, our faith in him becomes stronger. As we endure one challenge after another, that same faith becomes more muscular, right? When you first start flexing the muscle, it may not be very big, but as you continue to pursue and as you continue to go and you have that faith, you begin to flex a bigger and bigger muscle because it's gonna continue to happen. It's just like our physical muscles. When we work on it more, it becomes bigger, it becomes more toned, it can endure a longer pain. And this is the exact same thing. As your faith continues to grow, as your faith continues to expand, you will be able to endure things that maybe 5 years down the road, or 5 years ago, you're like, I would never have been able to endure this. But because God has brought you through this journey, you're saying, I can handle this. And not only can I handle it, and it's a reoccurring theme, I can bring someone else along the side that may be me 5 years ago. And I can give them influence and I can give them guidance. And so our journey, this is our journey snapshot as I'm getting wrapping up to close. In the crowd, we experienced hearing faith. In the 5,000, we experienced testing faith. In the 70, we experienced serving faith. In the 12, we experienced following faith. In the 3, we experienced deepening faith. And in the 1, we experienced overcoming faith. And here's the kicker. The strength of your faith is not in its size, but in the size of the one of whom it's placed. So where is your faith today? What is your faith in today? Because the Christian life is all about this, following. And not just aimlessly following, it's about following Jesus. It's about discovering and developing Jesus' words, ways, and command as we transform into becoming more and more familiar with the words and the ways of Jesus. And it's not about praying harder or longer or in the King James language. It's not about any of that. It's about coming closer to Jesus. And so my encouragement and my question is, wherever you are, and you have to ask yourself, where are you this morning? Are you in a crowd? Are you the 5,000, 70, 12, 3, 1? Are you not even knowing, but you got invited this morning? You have to ask yourself that question, where would I see myself today? Because you always have room to grow and be more in Christ. And until there's no longer blood pumping in your veins or air breathing through your lungs, there will always be more, and there will always be more time to be accepted by Jesus and his church and then bring people along. Or maybe you're sitting here and you know that you haven't started your journey with Jesus. Yet let me tell you this, there isn't a moment where you are good enough to receive the gift of salvation. There's never gonna be a moment. It's not like I've heard parents say, man, we are financially ready to have a baby now. It's not like that, because that's also not true. But it's like, man, I have now got to the level of goodness where I can receive the gift. That will never come. But the greatest thing is this, it's available every day. It's available every moment. It is available every minute. Jesus is saying this, I'm just waiting. I will be the obnoxious little brother that will continue to knock until you open your heart to me. And then as soon as you open it, I am running in, I am making myself at home, and I will continue to tell you that I love you, that I created you, and that I will help you. That is the Jesus that I serve. That is the Jesus that Pastor Allen serves. That is the Jesus that I pray today that if you don't have a relationship with, that you say yes to today. Because when Jesus was on that cross, he was dying for you today. And most importantly, when he came out of that grave 3 days later, it was for you today. Because when I look at the scene of the cross, there were thousands of people who died on a cross. Thousands. But there was one who came out of a grave. And that is the Jesus I serve. That is the God that I choose to follow. That is the person I say every single day, I will choose to be more and more like. And so this is why John believed that he was the one whom Jesus loved, because of what Christ did for him. And we can take the same posture today. We can all walk out of this building today as the one whom Jesus loved. So would you close your eyes with me this morning? We heard a lot. Some of it was challenging. Some of it we thought was maybe for someone else. But there's one thing that I think and I believe more and more that resonates with us today. It's this: where do I stand in my relationship with Jesus? Am I a part of the crowd? 5,000, 70, 12, 3, 1. Am I in it at all? And there's an opportunity today to receive this free gift of salvation. And this is a moment to say, I am a sinner. I have messed up. I am dirty, but I want this free gift that you talked about. I want this ability to grow closer, to be like this perfect Savior that you have been talking about all morning. And the Bible just says that if we confess our sins and believe that Christ rose from the grave, you are saved. You have started that relationship with Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every eyes closed, this is a private moment between you and God. I just want to ask this is, if you're saying, Pastor Matt, I want this relationship. I want this moment. I want to start this journey with Jesus, with this person that you were talking about today. And I don't know where to start, but I'm just going to start with this. If this is you, I'm just going to say, I'm going to raise my hand on the count of three. And I'm going to say, I want to start this journey. And as I'm counting, I want to give you a couple encouragements. One, Jesus loves you. Two, this church loves you. Three, if you want to make this decision, I'm just going to ask you to just lift your hand. Amen. I see one hand. Come on. It's amazing. Wait a couple more moments. If God's pumping on your heart, that's him saying, I'm waiting for you to respond. Amen. Can we do this? Can we repeat this just quick prayer? Say, Jesus, I ask you into my heart and I ask for you to be my Lord. I pray that today I don't try to be perfect, but I try to be closer to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you for loving me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we, this is my favorite part. The Bible talks about that when one person receives the gifts of salvation, that all of heaven celebrates. And so I just think for a moment, we should mimic heaven. And so I saw one person respond to the gospel message this morning. So can we celebrate and can we give a show of excitement for this person? Come on, God is moving, God is working. Come on. Come on, I love it. And as you stay standing, prayer teams, if you can come on down, here's my encouragement to you. As prayer teams are coming down, something might have resonated with you. You're saying, man, I feel like I've been in one of these stages, but I want to keep going. I want to grow. I want to go from the 70 to the 12 or whatever number you may feel like you have. These prayer teams are here, but these prayer teams are not just here to pray for like bad people. I believe that prayer teams are here to pray for hungry people that want to grow in their relationship, that want to know their next steps, that want to know what God can continue to do in their lives. And so please take advantage of these prayer teams because they want to pray with you and for you. But if not, thank you so much for being a part of River Valley Church this morning. Have an amazing rest of your Labor Day weekend, and we will see you guys next week.